The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, we've been talking through this sermon series, Attitude of Gratitude. And we've been talking about and focusing on how we need to have a thankful heart in everything that we do. That we need to be thankful people. Today, we're going to focus on the damage that can come with a complaining heart. For me, I like to golf. I know that we have several golfers here today. I've golfed with some of you and lost to many of you, and that's okay. One day I was golfing with a good friend of mine, and it was one of those picturesque days. Just perfect weather. The sun was beating down. I was about to tee off on a hole, and I was looking, and to my right, there was this great creek that you could hear kind of roaring down. And usually when I see a creek to my right, I would actually complain about that because I have a bad hook and it usually always ends up there. But I didn't. And I just looked over the scenery and I thanked God for the beautiful day. And while I was doing that, there were two deer that just gently started going through the lanes. And I looked and I'm thinking, wow, this is perfect, God. Thank you. What a great time. And I just kind of paused and reflected and gave God the thanks as I saw the deer go through. And then my little old friend, Jim, behind me said with a grumbling of a voice, "Oh, I hate those deer. They eat all my plants in my garden. I never can keep them away." And in the midst of my moment, I turned to them. And I said, "Jim Setti, come on now, you just ruined my moment." You see, I had a time of thanksgiving, and my friend Jim Setti had a time of complaining. This week was a hard week. It was a hard week on many of us. It was a hard week on myself. It was a long week. And there were many times throughout the week where I was just tired. And in the midst of being tired, there were times when maybe I could have been thankful at home, but I chose to complain. There were times at home, like for instance on Friday, I looked out and I saw all of the leaves that fell on our lawn, and I thought to myself, "Oh, I hate fall. Why do we have so many trees in our yard anyway?" And so I grabbed the lawnmower and I put the bag on the back of it, and I thought, "Well, let me try this." Now, I'm coming from a house that never had trees before. And so this is fairly new for me. And so I started to mow them. And I noticed that pretty much every three steps I had to stop and empty the bag and put it. And I'm thinking to myself, this is never going to end. And I stopped and I complained. And during that time, Peyton came running out. And he said, "Dad, no, don't mow the leaves." And he grabbed the rake and he said, "Let me rake them all." And for the next hour, he was raking all of the leaves and he put them in big, big piles. And him and his brother jumped in them and played in them. And they gave thanks. And I stopped. And I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my attitude. I'm sorry that I complained. When the truth was, I could have been a child and just played in them and enjoyed what we had. Well, I didn't want to tell you the end of the story that Peyton raked them all up but never picked them all up. On the way in, hopefully many of you grabbed a bulletin or grabbed a little index card on the way in. On that index card, if you have it, if not, maybe, do we have a couple of ushers? Do we still have some index cards? If not, let's see if we could pass those out. If you don't have an index card, just raise your hand and we'll have some ushers give those to you. But on this index card, this is what I want you to do. You have some pens or some pencils right in front of you. So if you need an index card, just raise your hand. We have some ushers that can hand out some index cards. We even have a couple in the balcony as well. But this is what I want you to do on the index card. And you have my permission to do this just this once. I want you to stop and I want you to think about all the things that you have complained about this week. Okay, maybe for some of you, we need to narrow that down because you only have this amount of space. Maybe for some of you, stop and think about all the things you've complained about in the last 2 hours, right? So think about all the things that you have complained about this week. Let's write down the complaints that we've had. Maybe for some, it's the pains that you might feel in your body. Maybe for some, it's the weather change and you don't like the cold when you wake up. Maybe for some, you were like me and you looked out and you saw that all of the leaves were surrounding your lawn and you have to pick those up. There's so many. So be thinking and you can be writing this down throughout the sermon. All the different complaints that you've had this week. Listen to these verses while you write those down. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's say that together. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. With everything that we have, we need to give thanks in all circumstances, not just a few, not just a little bit, but in all circumstances, we need to stop and to give thanks. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, do all things without complaining and arguing. Let's say that together. Do all things without complaining and arguing. So, what we see in the Bible, maybe here, I think we back there we have a picture of a of kind of this scale, this balancing scale. You know how these balancing scales work. If you put stuff on one side, then the weight will go down on that side. If it's equal, then it will stay up. You could kind of see what has more weight by which arm is tilting more. And so let me ask you this question as you think about a balancing scale. In your life, and if your life was on a balancing scale, complaining versus thanksgiving, what side would it lean towards? I would just guess, this is my guess, I would guess that it is a lot more heavier on the complaining side. And a lot less light on the Thanksgiving side. Where many of us, myself included, that we're off balance. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says that we should actually be off balance the other way. The Bible says that we, in all circumstances, should give thanks. And it says, in the flip side, that we should never complain or argue. So what the Bible says is, if your life is on a balanced scale, that you should be all this way, all thanksgiving and no complaining. So where are you this morning? Joyce Meyer said, a lot of people will never get where they want to be because they will never stop complaining with where they are at. A lot of people will never get where they want to be because they never stop complaining with where they are at. She also said, when we praise, we raise. When we complain, you remain. So let me ask you this question. What things do you complain about the most? Maybe you could look at your card and look through all the complaints that you put on your card. What things do you complain about the most, and why is that? What good does it do for us to complain? Does it change the outcome? It doesn't. But actually, what we're going to see is we're going to dive into Scripture and see how damaging complaining really could be. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. Before we read that, let me kind of get you a little bit caught up to date. In Exodus, we see the story of the Israelites. The Israelites were slaves. They were slaves under the hand of Pharaoh. They were working for free. They were beaten for what they didn't do. They were treated horrible. And so we have this man named Moses, that God came to Moses and he said, I want you to go and free your people, free the Israelites out of slavery. I want you to go, and I am leading you to take them to the promised land. It's going to be a journey, but you're going to take these people to the promised land. And so he did. He took them out of Pharaoh's hand. He led them along. They went through some very tough times in the desert, even times when they were looking at a sea in front of them and they are seeing the armies coming behind them. But yet through it all, they have seen the provision of God. Through it all, they have seen the hand of God helping them, opening up the sea so they could walk through, bringing manna from heaven so they could eat. And they see how God is faithful and how God provides. But yet these people would never stop complaining. In Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, you have people who continually complained to Moses and said, why did you bring us here? Why are we going through this stuff? You also see it in Exodus chapter 16, verse 8. More complaints from the people. And then now let's read in Numbers chapter 11. We're going to see even more complaining. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah. because fire from the Lord had burned among them. And so the first thing that we see here in the first verse is that when we complain, we make God angry. They complained, and it said that his anger was aroused. Why do we make God angry when we complain? Well, maybe because he calls us to not complain. And maybe it's because when we complain, we are showing God, who has provided for us, who has helped us and granted us with so many great things around us, we're showing him that we're not grateful. We're showing him that we're not thankful. Maybe we're even showing him that we don't have any faith. Just like for me with the trees, I believe that God in the fall has given us these beautiful trees to look at. And I look at them. And several times I stop and I thank God for them. He has placed those before me, before us to see. But yet, this week, I grumbled and complained about them. How do you think that makes God feel? Who probably is saying, I put those so you can enjoy. I made that tree, that wonderful, perfect, orangish yellow color that brightens up your day many days when you come and when you go into the driveway. That tree is there. I placed it for you, and now all you can do is complain. It's almost like this never happens in our household. Sometimes that we say, oh, let's take you out for ice cream, and I get them a cone, and they just grumble and complain and saying, I want a sundae. That must happen in yours. It doesn't happen in ours. And it makes you kind of feel like, why are you not grateful for what I just gave you? As a kid, you should be jumping up and down for joy of getting an ice cream cone, but all you can do now is complain. Where do kids learn complaining from? I have a feeling that some of my kids have learned it from me. I have a feeling that our kids learn it from us. Because of our complaining. So the first thing that we see is our complaining makes God angry. And then in verse 2, we see that the people led their complaints to Moses and to each other. It says, when the people cried out to Moses, so they led their complaints to Moses. Now, where does Moses go to? It says that he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So what we see is the people led their complaints to Moses, but Moses went to God. You see, complaints that are led horizontally between one another, it can only destroy. But when we go vertically to God, it comes and it helps us. Let's keep on reading. Verse 4. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. Oh, we remember the fish that we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. You see, sometimes what we see here is when we complain, it leads people to be delusional. Because they don't get it, that what they came from were they were slaves and beaten. And yes, maybe they had a little bit of food, but they were tortured for what they were going through. And now they are free. And God is still providing for them. God is bringing this miracle of manna coming from heaven for them to eat. And yet all they can do is complain. Saying, oh, I wish we had at least some meat. God, why couldn't you give us a menu so we can choose to say what we wanted? We don't want this manna. We're tired of it. Where's the meat? And once again, how do you think that makes God feel? When God is providing, when God provides for us, and yet all we can do is just complain. Let's hop down to verse 10 and let's see what complaining does to a leader. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." So what we see is when people complain, it can destroy a leader. He even said, it got so bad where Moses said to God, "Just now, why don't you just take my life? Kill me now." Because he's tired of hearing all the complaints. I want you to understand, people, that complaining destroys. I've seen it. I've seen it destroy a marriage. Husband and wife that are so caught up and so busy complaining to one another constantly or bickering at one another. Maybe it even goes to a level when they start complaining to their kids about one another. And it destroys. I've seen how complaining destroys a church. Where a church is so caught up with complaining about this thing or another thing. In churches today, we see so much complaint. People saying, "Oh, the service is too long or it's too short. The preacher is too loud or it's too soft. The music style is not exactly the way that I want it. If the paint of the church was maybe this color, it would help me a little bit. Or the carpet, if the carpet was a little bit softer." People, this is real stuff of what churches complain about today. And what does it do? It destroys. When you have a church that constantly complains, it hinders what the Spirit wants to do. And what we see here with Moses, it can also destroy their leader. Let's finish this. What happens then when Moses came to God? What does God do? Verse 16, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow when you will eat meat. The Lord heard you when you wailed. If only we had meat to eat, we were better off 1 day or 2 days or 5, 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? And so Moses came to God, and we saw that God answered their prayers. He didn't have to. To me, this shows us grace. He didn't have to listen to their complaining, but he saw the heart of Moses and he wanted to help. So where are you in this balance scale? Where are you? More complaining or more thanksgiving? Where am I? Remember the verses that we read at the very beginning in Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and arguing. So, with the sheet of paper that you have, you've already been writing down a lot of your complaints. I want you to flip it over. And now I want you to think about some things that you are thankful for. And write down right there some things that you are thankful for. You see, as we try to help us to stop complaining, one way to help us to stop complaining is to start being thankful. And if we can just start thinking more about the things that we are thankful for, it would help us to not complain as much. So what things are you thankful for? Ruth is going to come up and start playing the song that we are going to close with. And as she does this, I just want to give you the opportunity to now take this card. And as we hear the song and think about 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, we need to remember that we trust him more. And if we can just trust him more, maybe it would help us to not complain as much. And so with this card, while she plays, I just want to encourage you to come forward and to lay these complaints before Jesus and to say, I am sorry this morning. I'm sorry. And also lay your thanksgiving before him and give him your thanks. So let's take this card and let's bring it to the altar and let's sacrifice our complaints. And let's give it to him. And let's stop and just say, I'm sorry, God. Help me to be more full of thanksgiving and help us to not complain at all. So during this time, before we sing, will you come? come and lay your complaints before the Lord and just say, I'm sorry this morning.